Scott's kind of trying to get me out of my comfort zone a little bit, I think. He's got me all wired up, and I don't feel like I can move too much. And I think one advantage to this is maybe when I start sweating and it short circuits, he assures me it's not going to short circuit, and that way I can maybe stand in the back and you won't see me sweating as we go through this. But also, I've learned in education, proximity is one of the most effective methods to classroom management. So if this was a class, I don't think I'm too worried about classroom management for this group. But if I were to move around, that's supposed to help you guys stay on task and focus. But I don't think looking at everybody here, I won't have to worry too much about that. So if you see me moving around, and Scott, I don't know what his reason is, but mine's going to help calm the nerves maybe just a little bit. Scripture reading, as you can see, that we're going to start with here in a moment. Grace of Giving is going to be the title of our lesson that we're going to get into. And if there's only one thing that you take with you tonight, that would probably be it, that giving is a grace as we go through this. And I'll say a little bit more about that later. But I would like for us to start with Brother Jerry's going to read the scripture. So if you turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy 8. And Jerry's going to read that passage at verses 11 through 18. Please follow along as he reads that.
This particular area of the book of Deuteronomy is where Moses, the Lord's servant, is giving some commands to the Israelites as they were out of the bondage in Egypt. Moses says, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold incense, and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today."
So as we think about purpose for tonight, you might be wondering, well, why are the elders getting up here together to present the budget to you and to give this lesson tonight? And I think we decided these four statements, which are all scripture, best sums up the purpose for this particular lesson tonight and our budget presentation. One, of course, related to a passage that Jerry read, and then also some passages in Psalms. And speaking of the passages, just for time's sake, would encourage you to write these passages down and study these later, or even as we go along, flip through them and read them. Because Scott and I, or I guess I should speak for myself, one of my faults is thinking I can cover a lot of things in a short amount of time. So for your time and respect your time, we're going to try to get through this in a timely manner. So one thing to help with that is we're going to have the scriptures up there but not read all the scriptures. So those are left for you. And in fact, I'd encourage you to be like the Jews in Berea, to study all the scripture that anybody stands up here and teaches or preaches about, to see if with what we're saying is true. So the earth is the Lord's and all that fills it. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Grow up in every way into Christ. And then a fourth one, as you excel in everything, such as faith and speech and knowledge and earnestness and love, excel also in this act of grace. Of course, from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So as we go through this evening, I'd like for you to keep these four thoughts in your mind and in the background, actually the foundation of what we're hoping to accomplish this evening. We have actually Bill shared this particular book. As you know, Bill has a lot of resources. This particular book called How to Build a Great Church by Mac Layton was written in 1987. And he was an elder minister at the North MacArthur Church, the congregation in Oklahoma City. And this particular chapter, he's come up with 10 golden truths from the New Testament on the grace of giving. It's actually chapter 16 in his book entitled, the title of the chapter is entitled Great Giving is Living Proof. So that's kind of the outline that we're going to follow. And again, I would encourage you to follow along, take notes, and see, make sure this is all scripturally based as we go through that. So I'm going to kind of go through the first five. Then we're going to pause for a little bit, kind of go over the budget, and then Scott's going to cover the other five. Is kind of going to be the format of our lesson tonight and our presentation. So 10 great truths then of giving. First one, the New Testament church, our perfect example, of course, was a giving church. And we're all familiar with Acts 2 when the church began. And, of course, what it acted like after the 3,000 souls were added to the church. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And it's interesting that doctrine and fellowship, that word fellowship, Paul also uses in the book of Romans. He uses the same word for fellowship, and it's translated a gift in Romans 15 and 26, called a contribution in other places. Fellowship, another reason I'm walking around, I like for you to just focus on the word and the thoughts and not so much the speaker, maybe. Actually, we might be on to something here, John, with singing. Maybe we could lead our singing this way as well. Now, fellowship includes sharing of material blessings. So when you think of the word for fellowship, it's also used throughout the New Testament as gift and as contribution. Number two, giving is a grace. This is one for me as we studied that I don't know if I thought about this as much, about giving being a grace. And I think that's kind of why we gave it the title, The Grace of Giving, that I want you to think about when we think about our giving. Eight times the New Testament calls the giving of our money to the Lord a grace. God's grace, so abundant, immeasurable, powerful, had been bestowed on us in the Beloved, of course in Christ, that grace became a grace in us. And if you remember, those of you that were here this morning for Bill's lesson, as he talked about God's mercy, a merciful God, he wants us to be merciful. And in the very same way, a very gracious God, he wants us to have that quality as well of grace. Our giving is a sure index to the heart, a barometer of our love, gratitude, and growth in grace. And it's interesting to note, when you think about the New Testament itself, and I want to read one of Brother Layton's statements in his book. It says, man's spiritual life will never go beyond his concept of this age, the things of the world, and his attitude toward money and possession. So until man understands what his idea of this age is and his material blessings and his attitudes towards his possessions and those kind of things, he's not going to be able to develop his spiritual life. And in that regard, when you think about that, that explains then why 20 of Jesus' 33 parables dealt with this subject. And then another thing Brother Layton says is one in every six verses of the New Testament deal with that. And if you put all those together, it'd be a book bigger than the book of Acts. So if you think about what is said on this subject, it's one of the most important things that Christ dealt with in his teaching. And then thirdly, Giving is a command of God. Of course, we're familiar with the passage in 1 Corinthians 16, where to give as we prospered. And when we read that passage, it tells us it's to every Christian to give every Lord's Day and to the church treasury as he has been prospered. So as he's been prospered every Lord's Day. And that Greek expression that's used there for the first day of the week actually means on the first of the seven. And it's the same expression that's used in Acts 27 referring to the Lord's Supper. So the same expression that's used the first day of the week that we're to give also, of course, is when we're to observe the Lord's Supper and fellowship together, remembering Christ's death on the cross. And then fourthly, we are all stewards. Another great idea that we need to remember, and when you think about everything that God has given us, all that we have, all that is in this world, it's not truly ours. It's just been given us to borrow. This journey that we have here on earth, our life is really just a journey. Everything that we have during that time has just been given to us. And how we use that, of course, God expects us to be faithful with whatever we have. Whether we're talking about the talents, of course you're familiar with the parable of the talents, whether it's, you know, 1, 2, 5, 10, depending on the translations, or whatever we're blessed with materially, how we use that, of course, applies to our stewardship. And of course we're required to be found trustworthy and faithful. And through faithful stewardship, we are released from the love of money, which is the root of all kinds of evil. From 1 Timothy 6:10. For me personally, this next point, I think, stood out to me that I hadn't thought very much about. Here's how the Lord can protect us. When you think about all the things in the world, and then when you think of it in light of our stewardship, we don't have anything to worry about. You know, when you think about the lessons Bill's been teaching us on Sunday mornings from the Beatitudes, from the Sermon on the Mount, 5, 6, and 7 in Matthew, you know, when you think about the anxiety and you think about the things that God wants for us to help us to have an abundant life, this is one of the things I don't think I've quite thought of it like that, that is so comforting and encouraging to me, that we don't need to worry about collecting things. We just need to do our best with the things that we do have, is to honor God with those things and use them to the best of our ability. And then fifth, liberality makes possible the growth of the church. I know that word liberality in our society today probably typically has a negative connotation. As Scott goes through the other points, he's going to refer to generosity. That's a word we're probably more familiar with. But depending on your translation, liberality is there. Of course, when it comes to giving, liberality is a very important thing in terms of giving. But generosity or liberality, one reason that Christians are so generous is the all-consuming desire for the expansion of the kingdom of God. Of course, that's should be our main focus. No, as Brother Layton puts it, no road is too long, no pain too great, no sacrifice too much for not only the salvation of the lost, but the edification of the saved. So as we seek out the lost and help them to find Christ and put on Christ, we that have put on Christ, of course, we're not done yet. We have the responsibility, of course, to edify each other as we go along our life journey. And then to conclude this part of it, I thought this was a good little illustration. I'll go ahead, some of you already have read it, but I'll read it out loud. One lady complained to her preacher after he had delivered some lessons on stewardship, "All I ever hear is give, give, give." And his reply was, "Thank you, ma'am, for the finest definition of Christianity that I've ever heard." So that's something I want us to think about. But those are five of the truths that Brother Layton shares in his book about giving. And at this time, Brother Bob's going to lead us in prayer. Let's all be standing, please, as Bob leads us in prayer.
Let us all pray together. Our loving Father, we're so grateful that we can come to you in prayer, knowing that you care for us, knowing that you love us, knowing that you hear our prayers. Father, we're so thankful tonight for the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us throughout our lifetime. Help us to realize how fortunate we are and how blessed we are for the many things that you've given to us. And help us to realize even more how what Jesus said is so true, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. What a blessing it is to be able to give. Father, we pray that you would help us to realize this even more each day as we go through our lives, that we are blessed abundantly more than most people in this world, and how blessed we are for that gift that you've given to us, and how blessed we are to be able to give. We pray that you will help us to realize this more each day and help us to keep this in mind as we go out our daily lives from day to day. We pray that you will continue to bless us with our needs and continue to give us the ability to give, and pray that we will use that ability to give as we've been prospered, to give liberally and cheerfully, and to always strive to do what's right in your sight. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, at this point, want to give a brief presentation of the budget, kind of illustrate it a little bit for you, but we do have copies of the specific detailed budget out on the counter. Would request one per family, that you may pick those up on your way out. And as you look at those, any questions that you have, please bring to the elders. A lot of information on that. What I'm about to show you is just kind of a brief picture, a glimpse of what the budget looks like. As you've noticed in the bulletin so far this year of 2016, our weekly budget that we've set for our congregation this year of 2016 is $10,025 for each week. So I think it's the next slide. Oh, first of all, some things that if you're familiar with the budget from the previous year, we made a few changes based on your input from our meetings that we've had. Those of you that were able to attend the women's breakfast and the men's breakfast in the fall, we gathered input from you all, and here are just a few things. This is by no means all the list that you gave, but some of the things that stood out that you all in both of the breakfast meetings brought to our attention. Some broad categories like community outreach, of course our Bible classes was a big focus, and then missions and gospel meetings, and again, I just want to emphasize those are just a few of the things that kind of stood out from the input that you all gave. So based on that input, we've made some adjustments for this coming year compared to the previous year. Of course, if even recently, in fact, I guess I'll leave that for Scott. I think I was going to let Scott share some of those stories as we get into the next one. So I'm just going to hit the general, and then he's going to get up here and talk a little bit more about more specifics. As most of you know, of course, the biggest two pieces of the pie, if you will, would be the mortgage, which is in the mission and local. That's by no means all the mission and local. There's more to it than that, and that's what Scott's going to share with us here in a little bit. I'm going to break that up a little bit more in detail as far as the local mission work that's done, but that's part of the reason that's such a big piece of the pie is the mortgage, of course, of our building is included in that. And of course, payroll is another big, we're so blessed. I know everybody here agrees with me how blessed we are with our staff. And then I just want to make, you know, a brief comment of when you think of our staff and you think of the building, what important pieces that is, the important pieces those are to our work here at Watermill, and how much that means to what we do and what we're able to do at Watermill. And then, Scott, I guess I'll pass it off to you.
passes the baton off, I guess. He's home free now. All right. I just want to go back and mention very quickly, you talked about the input from the breakfast meetings that we had with the congregation. And I think y'all are to be commended for the suggestions that you provided to us, because as John mentioned in the purpose, you know, the purpose of the church, first of all, is to seek and save the lost, and second of all, it is to edify or build up those who are saved. And everything, without exception, that you all suggested to us from those breakfast meetings fell into those categories. And I think that speaks highly of the congregation here at Watermill, that you all are thinking in those terms. That makes us feel really good. That should make you feel really good. But let me just say, we got to keep on keeping on. The work is never done. And you know, also John was talking on the previous slide about payroll. It wasn't intended for it to be this way, but actually, John and I making this presentation tonight is actually sort of a preacher appreciation night. It'll make you all appreciate Bill and Adam a whole lot more when they get up and speak after hearing us speak tonight. So, you know, folks, we are so blessed to have Bill and Adam working with us here at Watermill. I can't tell you how great a blessing that is. But as far as our local mission budget, what you're looking at here is a slide that kind of shows in detail some of the things that are included in, Eddie, can you turn me down just a little bit, please? Some of the things that you're seeing here fall into that local mission category, and then this is minus the building mortgage. Folks, I got to tell you that our building mortgage is a significant portion of our contribution on a monthly basis. But we made a decision as a congregation, 8 or 9 years ago, that we wanted to build this facility. And this facility is intended to be a tool to be used for us to reach out to our community. And so it is up to us to make the best use of this facility. God has blessed us with a wonderful place, but we have to make the best use of it we can. And so what we see here, I think some of these things really are things that are ways in which we are using the building. You know, and there are things like our Know Your Bible program. I suspect there are some here who, when I say Know Your Bible, you're like, what is that? Well, it's something that we as a congregation have been involved in for a number of years, but yet it is sort of, I don't know, we probably haven't given as much attention as we should have over the last few years, but we as elders have made the decision that it's something that we want to revitalize, that we think it's an important part of our evangelistic efforts here. And so we are going to be making some efforts to sort of pump some energy into that over this next year. Also, community involvement. You know, everybody says, without exception, you know, we want to be involved in community, and y'all have demonstrated that numerous times. You know, back before Christmas, we put out a need. There was a need expressed for clothing and other things for the pantry over at Hillcrest High School. You guys were awesome, and you brought in so much stuff. When that was taken over to Hillcrest, they were totally amazed at the response that you gave on behalf of the need that they had there. You know, and there were also there were some funds that were provided along with that. Some of those funds were, as I understand, were given in certain cases to help some kids who were in need, in financial need. And they were able to take those funds. They were and travel to see family that they hadn't seen in many years. These were young people, teenagers, who were essentially living on their own. They had no parents close by, but they were able to travel and go see their grandparents for the holiday season. And I think that's a really cool thing that they were able to do that. We also have another need that that Adam and Aaron hopefully are going to be bringing to you here very soon, as we have a there's now a need over at Hillcrest for some additional backpacks and school supplies and things like that. And so stay tuned. You're going to be hearing more about an opportunity to help folks in our community with that effort as well. We've got our youth group. We have an awesome youth group. We have all these kids down here at the beginning of the services tonight. That is our youth group. Our teenagers are our youth group. I still want to be part of the youth group. But unfortunately, they tell me I'm too old. But that's all right. I'll support them anyway because I love them. And I know you all love them too. And we want to do everything we can to encourage our young people. We've also got other things. We've got van expenses. We've got the meetings and guest speakers. Obviously, if you've been paying attention, you've seen that here in a couple of weeks, Lonnie Jones is going to be coming to spend the weekend with us. And you know, the budget allows for us to bring people like Lonnie in to come and speak to us and provide us with some kind of some thoughts from outside our bubble here at the Watermill. And that's a very important thing for us to do as a congregation, is to have somebody to come in and speak to us on an occasional basis like that. LTC is a great program for our kids that they were up here all day today working on puppets and drama and all that good stuff. I'm a big believer in LTC. My kids grew up in LTC, and I believe it's a vital part of what we offer to our children here at Watermill. And we've also got things like the Search TV program and Bible class supplies and all of that sort of stuff. But you know, all of these things are part of the budget that we have put together, and you can see this broken out in more detail with specific money amounts appropriated to them in the handouts that are available in the back. All right, I'm going to ask now if Barney would to come forward, and he's going to read us another passage of Scripture, and then I'll share a few more thoughts with you.
I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 10. And as we've been talking about the budget, been talking about the command to give, and as we touched on what areas and how that giving will benefit this congregation, let's talk about the condition in which we give. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 10. It's the Apostle Paul. "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness."
All right, and continuing our thoughts on the grace of giving. first idea that I want to present to you is that giving is good for us. You know, if you stop and think about it, why do we do the things that we do in worship? You know, if you think about our worship, what do? We sing, we pray, we study from God's Word, we partake of the Lord's Supper. Why do we do all of those things? Why does God have us do those things? Because they're good for us. Bottom line is, it's because they're good for us. And giving is the same way. Giving is one of the things that we do as our worship to God. Now, giving is good for us also because it helps us to overcome selfishness that can very easily overtake us. You know, the rich young ruler that went to Jesus, he asked him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus listed off a number of things, and the young man says, "I've done all of those things." Well, Jesus, knowing the young man's heart, he says, "Okay, one more thing that you need to do. You need to go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor, and then come follow me." What was the young man's response? He went away disappointed. And why was he disappointed? Because the selfishness, the things of the world were still such importance to him that he couldn't see that giving was good for him. And we must be careful that we don't find ourselves in the place of that rich young ruler. Next thing is, as Barney just read in the passage, giving is sowing. We're not talking about making garments or anything like that. We're talking about sowing seed. We're talking about growing crops. You know, the Apostle Paul, he says, "Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." It's kind of pretty obvious, isn't it? Common sense. You know, if you want a nice green yard, if you've got just bare ground out there, if you just throw grass seed in one little spot and expect that you're going to have a nice lush lawn come July by planting the seed just in that one spot, you're going to be sorely disappointed. But if you take that seed and you spread it over that entire yard, then you're going to find yourself with the right effort and care, you'll have the yard, you'll have the lawn that you're looking for. And the same thing is true with the church. If we want in our community to be able to reach out to folks, and we want to be in all parts of the community, then we have to give, knowing that we are sowing the seed of the kingdom. Whoops. All right. Generous or liberal giving shows that Christ is in us. You know, our Lord was a selfless giver. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, if I can get to my page here, there we go. The Apostle Paul, he wrote to the Corinthian church, he said, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." You know, folks, I mean, that really, each week when we are sitting down, when you're sitting down thinking about your giving to the Lord, that's probably a verse that you should spend some time meditating upon. Because what Paul is telling us in that verse is that Christ was willing to give everything that he had for you. What are you willing to give for him? You know, to walk in his steps, you know, we have to walk in the way of boundless giving, self-sacrifice, and loving care. Liberality, as the word that John used earlier, or generosity, is the only accepted standard of giving that we see in the New Testament. Some of the older translations will use the word give with liberality. Some of the newer translations, the English Standard Version, for example, that we use quite often here, the word that's typically used is the word generous or generosity, something like that. Well, some examples of what's being talked about for the type of giving that is referred to here. If you look at the Macedonians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul tells us there, he says that the Macedonians, they gave in spite of what he calls their extreme poverty in a manner that he described as, quote, a wealth of generosity on their part. These were people who gave beyond their means, even though they were not expected to. But the reason they did is because they were generous people. Now, if you also remember, in Mark chapter 12, Jesus calls his disciples over there. They're at the temple, and he's watching the treasury, and he's watching people come up to the treasury to give money. He's watching rich men come up, and they're putting their money in the treasury. And then there is a widow who comes up and puts two mites, two small coins, in the treasury. Which one, you don't have to answer out loud, but you know the answer to this. Which one did Jesus say was accepted in the eyes of God? Yeah. You know the answer, just like I do. It was the widow. She was someone who gave everything that she had. That was all the money she had to her name, were those two mites. Now, what does Jesus see when you and I give? Does he see the rich man, or does he see the widow? How much do we have to give to be generous? Well, the basic standard of giving during the patriarchal period, if you go back through the Bible, the basic standard of giving in the patriarchal period of history was 10%. That's what's known as a tithe. When you get to the Mosaic period, Jews were required to offer the first fruits of their crops and livestock. There is no command in the New Testament regarding an amount that is acceptable to God. That's the way we pick. You know, we want to know just how much exactly do I have to give? Just how much do I exactly have to do? And I'll do that just a little bit more to be good enough, is the way we like to approach a lot of things. It's human nature. Well, we know this, guys, that the least that God ever stipulated was 10%. The most that he ever accepted was 100%. Generous giving, as it's referred to in the New Testament, falls somewhere between. And last but not least, our giving will be one sure basis for judgment. This paper is just not cooperating very well tonight. You know, if you look in Matthew chapter 25, you see the passage of Scripture, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and And he's talking about those who give to the Lord will be blessed. You know, this is the passage where it's talking about the sheep's on one hand and the goats on the other hand. And Jesus talks about people who, those who gave food to the hungry, those who gave drink to those who were thirsty, those who gave food to those who were hungry, or they gave a welcome to a stranger, or clothing to the naked, or comfort to the sick, or they took the time, they gave of their time to visit people, those in prison. In that passage, you get down to the end of that passage, the people who were blessed in the last day were the ones who gave. Our willingness to give is something that is going to be taken into consideration in the last day. Eddie, I'm going to ask Eddie if he would to come up and lead us in a word of prayer, and then I have just a few closing thoughts, and our presentation will be finished.
Our most holy God and Father, we know that all good gifts come down from you. Father, we thank you for those gifts, the gift of life, the gift of our life's partners, our spouses. We thank you for the gift of our children and our grandchildren. We thank you for the gift of the church and for all the saints, the brothers and sisters that make up this wonderful gift. Father, we know that you would have us to be gracious givers. We know that we can give of our means, we can give of our time, we can give of our talent. We know that the things that you expect of us is the best that we have. Father, we know that as we continue, that we give to honor you. We know, Father, that there will be a time that we'll be judged on our giving. There'll be a time that we'll be judged on the way that we live and the way that we represent you. Father, bless us. Keep us always in your care. And maybe we all be gracious givers, that we can, at the time of the judgment, look to you to hear you say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Father, we ask these and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And amen.
One last thought, and the lesson will be yours for tonight. I apologize for us running over a little bit, and we just had so much that we wanted to give to you guys. And like I say, hopefully you'll have more appreciation for Bill now. So, one last thing, though. You guys, sacrificial giving must be our standard because our Lord requires it. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26, he says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" Our giving is not really a budget question. It's really a priority question. What has the priority in our lives? Jesus says from this passage that He should have the priority in our lives. If there's anything that takes higher priority in our lives than Christ, then we are not taking up our cross and following Him in the way that He is asking us to do. Christ calls on us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. He set the ultimate standard when it comes to giving. If we are Christians, if we are followers of Christ, if we are truly seeking to be Christ-like, then our giving will be what it needs to be. Until we are willing to take up our cross and follow Him, until we are willing to do that, there is no amount of money that we can give that will make us pleasing to God. Because for our giving to be acceptable to God, we have to first start by giving ourselves to Him. It starts with me. It starts with you. It starts with our hearts. And really giving is, it comes from the heart. It should come from the heart, just like our singing comes from the heart. Everything about our worship should come from the heart. And so it is so important that our hearts be right with God. I don't know where your heart is tonight. Is your heart right with God? If it's not, then tonight is the best time, the best opportunity you've ever had to make that change and to do something about it. I want to thank you guys so much for your attention tonight, and know that the things that we've said tonight, we're saying out of love. And you guys, this congregation is special. And so we're gonna sing an invitation song. If you need to get your heart right with God tonight, then we'd ask that you come as we stand and sing.